With the New York Times in one hand and the Catechism of the Catholic Church in the other, Al Cresta is ready for conversations of consequence.
Answering that question is above my pay grade.
It's a personally and private issue.
Thank you, Al. Nice to be with you as always.
We're in the midst of a serious financial crisis.
Broadcasting from the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and taking a closer Catholic look at current events, issues, and ideas. This is Cresta in the Afternoon.
I've never been interviewed by anybody as engaging as you.
Sort of like a community organizer.
Community organizer like Jesus Pontius Pilate was a governor.
Al Cresta, it's an honor to talk to you.
Okay, let's do it. Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Thanks. Coming up, Dr. Bob Fisher. He's president of Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee. You say, well, okay. Look, this is where the second presidential debate is going to be held next Tuesday. It's Belmont University. And I want to talk about that. How does Belmont University get second presidential debate? How do you go about doing that? I mean, can anybody just say, we'd like to have the presidential debate here? What do you have to provide for it? What are the candidates afraid of? Who actually sets it up? There's the commission on debate, presidential debates. Used to be League of Women Voters. I don't know if they do debates anymore, do they? Since we've had this commission on presidential debates. Well, he'll be joining me in just a little while. Also, funny statistic. More than half of all adults, including one in five who don't claim any religious faith, more than half of all adults believe they've been protected by a guardian angel during their life. Now, tomorrow is the Feast of the Guardian Angels, and I want to talk to Joan Wester Anderson, who has collected some astonishing firsthand accounts of the presence of angels among us. And we'll let Joan tell those stories. We can talk about the theology of it, too. Because I don't think you can divorce religious experience from religious doctrine. I mean, I think that there's a very interesting relationship between the two. So we can talk theology, but my primary interest is going to be talking about experience, and that is the basic experience of people who claim that the angels have intervened in their life. So that's coming up in this hour. And we'll also welcome you to phone in at 1-877-573-7825. It's 1-877-573-7825. And look forward to hearing from you on this question of angels among us. But first to the news headlines with Dick Tom.
Thank you, Alan. A very good afternoon. This is your Ave Maria Radio News. It is Wednesday, October the 1st, the Feast of St. Therese. Following a stunning rejection by the House, the Senate is now expected to approve a revised financial bailout package sometime this evening. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell said it's time for lawmakers to step up and fix the problem.
No one is happy with the situation that we're in, but it's the situation that we have. And the American people didn't send us here just to do easy things. They expect us to rise to big challenges.
The House killed the Bush administration's proposed $700 billion bailout on Monday, sending the stock market into a steep dive. The House will likely take it up again this week. Modifications have been made in the bill that the Senate will consider this evening, including a boost to the federal deposit insurance guarantee. It also amends some federal tax provisions to make the bill more palatable to House conservatives. Presidential nominees Barack Obama and John McCain, along with Obama's running mate Joe Biden, are all expected to return to the Capitol to vote on that bailout. The moderator for tonight, for tomorrow night's vice presidential debate is coming under attack. Veteran PBS journalist Gwen Ifill is set to moderate the debate, but her role is being criticized because of a forthcoming book with a pro-Obama slant. Titled The Breakthrough, it focuses on Obama's campaign for the presidency and the positive emerging impact of African-American politicians. Her new book is expected to hit bookshelves on Inauguration Day in January. There was quite a bit of pedestrian activity yesterday at Mercy Medical Center in Springfield, Massachusetts. Onlookers reported seeing the figure of the Blessed Virgin Mary in a window at the medical center's office building. Many of the hundreds who gathered took pictures while others sang and became emotional. A spokesman for the Springfield Roman Catholic Diocese says there was an image. However, Mark DuPont said it takes years to investigate, adding that they don't want to mislead people about what there may or may not have been in that window. And the Major League Baseball postseason starts today with three first-round games. The National League wildcard Milwaukee Brewers pay the NL East champion Philadelphia Phillies in Game 1 at Citizens Bank Park. In Chicago, the NL West champion Los Angeles Dodgers will face the NL Central champ Chicago Cubs at Wrigley. The playoff nightcap takes place in Anaheim, where the wildcard Boston Red Sox will go up against the AL West winning Angels. And now your fascinating fact for the day. Over 15 billion prizes have been given away in Cracker Jack's boxes. Reporting for Ave Maria Radio News, I'm Nick Tom.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Kressler. Thank you for being with me next Tuesday, October 7th. Dr. Bob Fisher in Belmont University will host the second of the three presidential debates. This will be the only town hall debate format. And joining me right now to talk about this is the president of Belmont University, Dr. Bob Fisher. Dr. Fisher, good to have you with me.
Well, it's wonderful to be with you as well.
Well, I guess the first question I should ask is, what is Belmont University?
Well, Belmont University is a Christian community of learners of about 5,000 students. We have a core brand that we're known for, and it's nationally, and it's music. We have 1,800 of our 5,000 students are engaged in either performance or the music business and entertainment business.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a wonderful place to be.
And how did you end up getting the second of the presidential debates? It's something I've never thought about. I mean, if I were president of Belmont University, how would I say to myself, okay, well, look, it's going to be three presidential debates. I'd like to get one of them.
Well, we started thinking or dreaming this dream about 8 years ago, and at that time we were beginning the construction of a new event center, and one of the donors, Mike Kerb, and I were having a conversation, and Mike's very interested in the political arena, having served as Lieutenant Governor of California years ago. And I said, Mike, imagine if we build this facility and you turn on your television 4 years from now and someone comes on and says, good evening, this is Jim Lehrer from the Kerb Event Center at Belmont University. We bring you the presidential debate. And you know, it was over when I said that. He just looked past me and said, how much would that cost me? And we went from there. And we built a facility that would accommodate it. And, of course, I immediately started backpedaling, saying, Mike, I can't guarantee a debate. You know, I don't – but – you know, he and I both knew that was perhaps not a plausible thing to expect, but we have truly, we went after it, worked hard, and then now I've been blessed, and we think it's a great privilege to be able to host this and present it to the American people.
Well, I think it is, too. I'm tickled by it. And now, what do you have to, what does the university have to contribute in terms of manpower? You know, what do you do? What do the candidates do? What does the Commission on Presidential Debates do?
Well, it's an enormous undertaking for us. The Commission selects a site and then works with us, and we are essentially the host. The candidates and the parties, they have all their things going. We're inviting them into our home and being hospitable to all concerned and saying welcome. Now, here's an opportunity for you to share your story. But the logistics of it are pretty amazing. We were blessed, though, to have the Kerb Event Center available and to have built it with security considerations and with technological considerations that make television broadcasts a very easy thing, well, relatively easy thing to do. what we weren't prepared for was the thought of 3,000 journalists, and they're already showing up here, even though the big, you know, there's another event this weekend in St. Louis for the VP. But 3,000 journalists will be on our campus. So we've created a huge media tent with 750 workspaces, new telephones, new computer hookups, new. It's an enormously expensive and challenging process.
Yeah, I would think so. But that you have to do that. I mean, that's Belmont University's task.
That's our, well, and it's Nashville, Tennessee's task.
The community is involved too.
Yes,
okay.
It's actually been. I spent a lot of my time asking people to help us at the university and basically begging for money. This is the easiest money I've ever raised because the community is very excited about this. Hospital Corporation of America, Gaylord Entertainment, a lot of our lead sponsors have just stepped right up and said, here's what, I don't even get through my pitch, and they say, Bob, let me tell you what we want to do. And that's really sweet.
Now, how are the, who gets into the center for the debate?
Well, ours is the town hall debate. 150 participants will from Middle Tennessee will be selected by the Gallup polling organization, and they will ask the questions. Tom Brokaw will moderate the event. He will screen the questions in advance, try to pick out a balance of questions, make sure they aren't all on the economy, for example. But he then will call on people from the audience to ask their question. And a new feature this year is a partnership with the Presidential Debate Commission and MySpace, where you can go online. Anyone listening can go online to mydebates.org, or they can come to the belmont.edu website and follow the links from our page. And you can submit your own question, and a few will be selected to be asked during the debate. So it's a way to give the whole country a chance to have their voice heard as well.
Oh, that's tremendous. Now, you're also an author.
I am. My wife and I have written a book, and we're just so pleased and excited with how this thing's going. It's called Life is a Gift, Inspirations from the Soon Departed. And we interviewed 104 people in the Alive Hospice program here in Nashville and asked them to tell us about their lives. Questions really aimed at trying to get at the core of what do they think really matters in life, and sitting on the front porch of eternity, how does their life look? And, you know, we go back to the founder of the modern-day hospice movement, Cicely Saunders, who told us, you know, you need to, she said, the dying need the community. And we know that, to care for them and to support them. But she went on to say something we don't seem to know very well. She said the community needs the dying to force them to think on eternal issues and to make them listen.
Yeah.
And we listen to these people, and I will tell you, it changed our lives.
How so?
Well, we were able to refocus on what really matters in life.
Mm-hmm.
We met a 98-year-old man who was with weeks to live, who was learning Hungarian, and he took the fact that he only had weeks to live. We asked him why. He said, "Well, I've always wanted to." Well, most of us would take that as we're dying as a reason maybe we think not to do it.
But why bother, right?
Yeah, but you know what? In the Alive Hospice facility, a woman moved in down the hall from him. And guess what language she spoke?
Unbelievable.
Hungarian. Oh. It was not a coincidence.
Isn't that so?
And we talked to a little 5-year-old girl and asked her what really matters in life. And she described her life as a coloring book and talked about coloring the page that would show her mommy and her daddy and her cat in her lap. And her brother would be there, too. But he wouldn't be touching her. And she said that's what's brought her the greatest joy in life. And so we heard 102-year-olds saying what matters in life is my family. We heard a 5-year-old say it, and we just are reminded of things we already know.
But we
forget them in the moments of day to day. So it really it's just made us realize that what matters is loving God, loving other people, being careful with people. One of the people we interviewed was an architect, and he said, He said, Bob, you got to be careful with people. And I said, oh, I know that.
Yeah.
He said, no, I don't mean it that way. He said, you've got to be careful with them the way you are with precious things and fragile things. And I said, oh. So we were really touched by it and have found just a refocusing of our lives.
So many people, when they think death, they think fear. What role did fear play in the lives of those that you interviewed?
You know, these people were not afraid. I think I can say that with almost. There were a few who were afraid out of 104 that we interviewed, but so many of them had had seen their future. They see. You know, they have faith. One of the women that we talked to had the most challenging life I could imagine, and she had been raped when she was young. She had become an alcoholic as a child, and she'd been working a really hard job all her life, and now she's dying of breast cancer at 40. And I said, Shirley, what do you regret about your life? She says, I don't regret anything. I said, you're going to have to explain that to me. And she said, well, you know, if I hadn't been raped, I never would have started drinking. If I never started drinking, I never would have found AA. And if I never started with AA, I never would have found the God of my own understanding.
Mm.
And if I'd never found the God of my own understanding, I'd be terrified today.
Wow.
But I'm not. I'm at peace. I know who my God is, and wow. I know whose arms I'm in.
That's a woman who understands how
she
to look
preach.
At life under the aspect of eternity.
Absolutely. And so, you know, we heard all this, and we walked away and with an overwhelming sense that, okay, life is a gift from God. And while I can't answer every question about life, I know that God gave me life, and I know God gave life to those around me, even some who get taken away before I want them to.
Mm-hmm.
But my response needs to be gratitude and thankfulness for that life.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the way we're living through these debates, too. I'm just having a great time with it. You know, no point in stressing. Let's love it.
Well, I think it's a great story, and I'm delighted you took the time to be with me today. And we'll be thinking of you when we watch the debates next week.
I appreciate it. It's such an honor and privilege to be on your show. And it's something I'm going to mark down as check it off as another reason for gratitude and gratefulness. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Fisher.
All right. Bye.
Dr. Bob Fisher of Belmont University's president there. Belmont University will be hosting the second of the three presidential debates on October 7th. It's the only town hall debate. NBC's Tom Brokaw will be there hosting it, facilitating the discussion between the audience and the candidates. And they plan on taking some questions from the Internet. So, and, you know, we may have Dr. Fisher back on, just a delightful man. And this work that he's done with his wife, Judy Fisher, on working with hospice patients and telling their stories in the book Life is a Gift, Inspiration from the Soon Departed. Sounds like something we should spend a little more time on.
Have you ever thought, how does the abortion clinic in your city find the money to stay open? The answer is you. In fact, most mutual funds, 401ks, and other investments held by investors like you actually support businesses like the abortion industry, pornography, and same-sex lifestyle. Which means right now, there's a very good chance you are helping to keep the doors of abortion clinics in Metro Detroit open. Call Jim and Stacy at Faith Investment Services at 1-800-529-9434. Jim and Stacy can show you exactly what your investments are currently supporting and then offer morally directed options that don't require you to sacrifice performance. Find out where your money is going. Call Jim and Stacy at Faith Investment Services today at 1-800-529-9434. That's 1-800-529-9434 or go to morallydirected.com.
Securities offered through Next Financial Group, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Faith Investment Services is not an affiliate of Next Financial Group, Inc. Ask a happily married Catholic man or woman, and they'll likely tell you how vital it is to have a strong mutual faith life. It's the single largest component of a happy marriage. CatholicMatch.com is a tool to help you find who and what God wants for you. CatholicMatch.com is not simply a website, it's a real online community of Catholics who offer support and friendships. From that community, relationships and ultimately marriages are formed. Think about it this way. CatholicMatch.com brings God's people together by using technology for His ultimate purposes. Have faith in your search for a spouse. CatholicMatch.com, promo code AMR. CatholicMatch.com, the place where people grow in faith and fall in love. More information at CatholicMatch.com. Promo code AMR. CatholicMatch.com. Grow in faith, fall in love.
Tomorrow is the Feast of the Guardian Angels, and I just came across an ABC News survey article by Dan Harris, and I'll read it to you because I think it's worth just throwing out there. More than half of all adults, including one in five of those who say they are not religious, believe that they have been protected by a guardian angel during their life. This is by Baylor University's Institute for Studies of Religion. Dr. Rodney Stark down there has conducted this survey. It polled 1,700 respondents of different religious traditions, evangelical Protestants, Catholics, mainline Protestants, African-Americans, Protestants, Jews. Researchers found that a belief in guardian angels affirmed by 55% of respondents is a phenomenon that crosses religious as well as regional and educational lines. Now, Rodney said, I knew there were a lot of people who had belief in angels, but I wasn't prepared for the frequency of it. This is part of a new book called What Americans Really Believe, and it does underscore that America is very much a religious or spiritual nation or believes in the supernatural. And a June 2008 poll from the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life found that 92% of Americans believe in God. Well, my guest, Joan Wester Anderson, has spent much time listening and collecting stories about angelic interventions in people's lives. And she is the author of many books, including Guardian Angels, True Stories of Answered Prayers. Joan has 16 books altogether, and including this one on guardian angels, another one, Where Angels Walk, In the Arms of Angels. She's been a popular speaker, freelance writer for 30 years, a frequent guest on radio and television, and we've much enjoyed our time with Joan here on Crest in the Afternoon. Joan, nice to talk to you once again.
Thank you, Al. It's nice to hear your voice.
When did you first take an interest in angels?
Well, I have to admit, I wasn't very interested in them as a child and young adult. After, you know, the Catholic school business of sitting, moving over in your seat to kind of let an angel sit next to you, that kind of thing that the nuns were fond of telling us, I kind of had in my mind the idea that they were, you know, sort of like elves or something, just kind of something that really didn't matter much.
Yes.
And even today,
fairies or sprites or something like that.
Yeah, something that, you know, when you have God, what do you need this for?
Yep.
And people often say that to me. You know, well, shouldn't we be praying to God? Well, of course. And asking me why God does something would, you know, is dabbling in the ridiculous because I'm always asking him questions too. So I think the only way that we can look at it is that God didn't need to give us anything, but because he's a God of abundance, he not only gave us angels, but he also, in Scripture, told us that we should follow our angels and listen to them. So this is giving us permission, not to worship, of course, but to have them as part of our lives. And I think it would be an insult to him if we left them out.
Yeah. Yeah. People often ask, I mean, why, you know, just what you said. I mean, why do we need angels?
I think maybe for comfort at the moment. I'm sure there's always something going on in someone's life where they need a little bit of comfort. And sometimes that can be something amazing and wonderful, but other times, especially since I've been, you know, researching on this for the last 15 years, I've found that people will often have something very personal happen to them, something that no one else would find meaning in. And, you know, people say, well, maybe it was Mary, or maybe it was a saint that answered a prayer of mine. Does it really matter? Angels are just another gift, and we should treat them that way.
Yeah, I mean, look, the world's full of broccoli, and it's full of diamonds, and it's full of horses, and it's a very strange universe. And there's no reason that that somehow angels ought to be considered superfluous any more than, you know, broccoli is superfluous to cauliflower.
A variety.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, we look around at the world and think, there must be millions of different plants and, you know, beautiful flowers here. God could have given us one or two.
That's right.
But he gave us millions. And the same thing goes for the angels. They're just one more testimony of his love. And, of course, the word angel means messenger.
Right.
So this is part of their job for us is to... I've often, when I've talked to little children in grade school, maybe the first few grades, I will say to them, if Christmas is coming, I want you to listen to the Gospels really carefully the next few weeks and tell me how many times an angel was involved in that. And, of course, you could have the Christmas story without them, but how much more beautiful to think how many different aspects and ways in which they served through that whole time.
Yeah, indeed. Now, during the, 1980s maybe, there was a huge angels craze.
Oh, it was 1992.
Okay, 1992.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Catholics don't believe that angels restrict their concern or their jobs to just Catholics.
Oh, no.
So it's a universal phenomenon.
And angels, too. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Angels are the one, this is so amazing to me, when we talk about ecumenism, so often we concentrate on what divides us,
right.
And yet angels are one thing that brings us all together because in every faith they exist.
It's amazing, yeah.
Isn't it? I mean, if you can't think of anything else to talk about a man with a man who's wearing a turban, you can ask him, you know, what he believes about angels, because we did that once at we had a forum for all kinds of different people, and I was sitting next to a Muslim gentleman, and he said to me that in the Muslim faith, they believe that each person has two angels, a guardian angel and a recording angel, and the recording angel writes down everything you do and takes you to the throne of Allah. And I said, well, I am so glad I'm a Christian, because I think that would really intimidate me. And he just threw back his head and laughed. And then he said to me, why don't we meet in heaven and see which one of us was right?
Yes. Yeah.
And I just love that.
That is great. What's the relationship between people's expectations about angels, whether they exist or don't exist, whether they're gendered, whether they're visible or invisible. What is the relation between people's expectations about angels and their experience of angels?
Ooh, what a good question. I think one thing I'm always clearing up, not so much for a Catholic crowd, but very definitely for the general public, and that is a misinterpretation of what angels actually are. Many, many people will say, we lost a child, or my father died recently, and now they're up in heaven, and they are our angels, and they're watching over us. Well, certainly they're watching over you. We know about the saints and all of that, but angels have never been human, and human beings will never be angels.
Right.
They are separate and created not at all the same. And where we get fooled is that very often an angel will do something for us, but he will come looking just like an ordinary person.
Mm-hmm.
And the main reason for that, I think, is because they don't want any attention. They want to kind of come in, do their job, and go.
Right.
Because God is the one. God's the story. God is the message. And that's fine, because we usually are caught up in the situation. We're worried. We have a flat tire, a sick child, whatever it is. And it's not until later that we think, well, that was odd. What happened to that person?
Mm-hmm.
You know, very often that's a typical angel response, is somebody coming along to help you. You're caught up in the situation. You're grateful to this person. But by the time everything seems that it's going to be okay, you turn around and look, and there isn't any such person. And you think, you know, how did this happen without anyone here?
What was the first story of angels that shook you up?
Oh, my gosh. It was my son's.
Mm-hmm.
I had gone, as I mentioned, some 25 or 30 years without paying any attention to them at all. And I regret that so tremendously. I never taught my children the guardian angel prayer. I mean, we said the rosary, the family rosary, and things like that. But angels just weren't, they just weren't there at all. And then one of my sons had a situation where he was driving home for Christmas from the East Coast. We live in Chicago, so this was kind of a hike. And I began seeing all the weather reports coming, how bad it was going to be, mostly how snowy it was going to be. And so, of course, I called and said, why don't you, they couldn't fly, it was too late. This is planning that young people do. And I said, why don't you maybe skip it and come in on New Year's, but don't drive.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Mom, you know, you just make such a big deal out of everything. So it's a little snow. So the three of them took off, and they broke down in a cornfield off the beaten path, had somehow gotten lost. It was 35 degrees below zero.
Oh.
That was not the wind chill. That was the actual temperature.
Oh.
In fact, I still have the cover of the Chicago Tribune saying, you know, record cold, and several people died in their cars that night. And we know that Tim would have been one of them, except that all of a sudden they're in the car and there's a big shining light right behind them, right up on their bumper. It was a tow truck. And the fella got out. He never explained why at 2 in the morning he was, you know, cruising along. He just said, need a tow. Well, you know, we always laugh about that because we think, wouldn't an angel have known that? Except that I think later on I learned that in some instances angels wait to be invited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your heart has to be open to them. And so, of course, the boys were thrilled and they said yes, and the fellow hitched them up and he took them back to where they should have been and got them, you know, started again, and when they turned around to pay him, there was nobody there. There was no truck there. Nothing had gone away from them. And, you know, I know that my son is an honest person, and he's also an engineer, and they tend to be rather picky about details.
Yes.
So he was a good one to have to tell us this, but I thought about it for months. I was afraid to say anything. Other people died. Why did our son live?
Right.
All these questions. And then finally, I just, because I already was a writer and I gave talks and things about other topics, I began telling people Tim's story and asking just for validation, did anything like this ever happen to you? And I found once I could get them talking that this was the best kept secret ever. That almost every person had something in their
mm-hmm.
lives that had been a touch from heaven. And they had tried at different times to tell people about it and had met with some resistance. Why would God do that for you? You know, heartbreaking types of things. So I just said, so we don't cast our pearls before swine. We,
right.
We keep it to ourselves until we find people who are ready to believe. And
yeah.
That's what happened. And I thought, we can't keep these a secret. So that's how the books began.
That's how they began. Just born out of your own mm-hmm. experience there.
Well,
I had
written other books, which we always say, I wondered why I never really got anywhere. Heaven knows I tried hard enough with 5 children dancing around me, and smoking cigarettes and trying to get you know, a piece out for a deadline or something, but I look back now and I see how I was being prepared for the ministry and working, you know, to circulate angel knowledge.
Yes.
I couldn't have done that 20 years before because I wasn't ready. And sometimes I say to people, you know, when you think nothing's going on in your life, that's sometimes the time when God is testing you and bringing you into a new way of looking at things so that you can work for him a little bit better.
My guest is Joan Wester Anderson. Tomorrow is the Feast of the Guardian Angels. We're looking at her work, which is assembled in many books, including one called Guardian Angels, True Stories of Answered Prayers. She is the author of the New York Times bestseller, Where Angels Walk. Our number is 1-877-573-7825. We're going to talk stories of angels, but also answer your questions about angels. 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-KRESTA, K-R-E-S-T-A, and then the numeral 5.
Cress in the Afternoon is brought to you by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, a family of pro-life mutual funds. Did you know that your investments could be supporting abortion and pornography? At Ave Maria Mutual Funds, professional portfolio managers and analysts research thousands of companies and only invest your money in those that meet strict financial and moral criteria. To learn more about the pro-life investing strategies and investment results, call toll-free 1-866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. Request a free investment kit and prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing by calling 1-866-AVE-MARIA. That's 1-866-283-6274 or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Good day, I'm Al Cresta, and I've enjoyed broadcasting from the town of Ave Maria, home of Ave Maria University in southwest Florida. It's a unique community, organized around a beautifully designed oratory and Italian-style piazza. The town not only houses the university, but there's a Catholic elementary school, local businesses, a water park, world-class golf courses, a tennis club, and, of course, a wide range of homes available for purchase. The university is a source of concerts and lectures, art shows and student performances, a virtual cornucopia of Catholic culture, excellent for families or singles. But seeing is believing. I'd like you to take a virtual tour of the town by going to AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. And imagine it as a home for your children or a haven for your retirement. Enjoy the sights at AveMariaRadio.net, and while there, register. There's absolutely no obligation, and you'll discover countless opportunities at the town of Ave Maria. Back on this eve of the Feast of the Guardian Angels, my guest, Joan Wester Anderson, author of When Angels, Where Angels Walk, The Power of Miracles, and In the Arms of Angels, and Guardian Angels, True Stories of Answered Prayers, among many other books. Our number is 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. I want to do some talking about angels, hear some stories. Let's go to Cincinnati, Ohio. Listen on Sacred Heart Radio. Terry, nice to have you with us.
Thank you. Nice to be with you. We had Joan, I can't remember when, she came a couple times to our parish.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Hi, Joan, how are you?
Hi.
And asked her, and of course she was a big hit. And inspired many people. But afterwards, I was very much interested in my guardian angel. I had always actually said that prayer, but became renewed interest, began praying a lot. And after she left, before I had read all her books, but maybe just the first one, I had been praying that I would like, you know, you know there are the angels there, but you would like us, you know, it would be nice to have an experience where you really knew they were there. Well, not long afterwards, I was home one day by myself, opened up the kitchen cabinet where we store our glasses, and it's on a three-tier one, and on the top tier are these heavy beer steins, and they had walked themselves to the edge. So when I opened it, they fell down on the counter in front of me as if it was a, like, explosion of glass shards that went everywhere. And I could feel, it's hard to describe, but I later on actually read an incident like this in her book where there was a protective invisible shield over my house, and these shards went on the kitchen table all the way to the next room everywhere, but not a piece of it touched my eyes, my face, or my clothing. Wow. And since, because of that, I wrote a poem that was published in our church paper that really came out, and I remember thinking, if I write this, this is the point of no return. People are really going to know I'm a Jesus freak now. Anyway, in, you know, once you, it's nice because once you do that, then people just expect it of you, and they stop going, oh, my gosh, she's talking about her face. So anyway, I wanted to thank Joan Wester Anderson for that, and that was my angel story.
Oh, that's so wonderful. And what did they think of the poem?
I got a lot of feedback. You know, people were surprised. I mean, mm-hmm. they, you know, and they didn't know that, you know, I was thinking that. And, of course, that, you know, one thing, you know, led to another. And, you know, I do many things on the Pro-Life Commission and different things. So, But, Joan, have you experienced that where people feel almost like an invisible shield that somehow protects them? I mean, it's hard to explain the supernatural in natural terms, but that's what it felt like.
Yes, you know, I can never remember which group I told what story to, but I do remember early in my collecting, I came across a woman whose daughter had gone out to the Grand Canyon with a couple of her older sons. And, you know, of course, she put them through the drill, now watch her, she's only 12 years old, don't let her do anything dumb, and they're all mom. So they're out there, and mom is in Michigan, home, reading her Bible, and she suddenly gets this terrible fear about her daughter. And she was reading Psalm 91, I will send my angels around you to guard you in all your ways. And she thought to herself, it was kind of a moment of truth. Did she really believe this, or was it just a bunch of pretty words? And so she cried out to her angel to go to Jamie, her daughter, and to be with her. And, of course, the kids came home, and everything was fine. And that night they started to go through their photos. And, whoops, one of the kids said, we weren't going to show Mom those. Well, it turned out that on a rather rainy morning, Janie had gotten a little too close to the cliff edge, and she had fallen. And she said she didn't fall forward, as you would assume you would tumble. She slid down the side, the face of the canyon, and she went down probably 200 or 300 feet. And she said then she stopped because there was a pillowy sort of something. Those were her words. A pillowy sort of something that just kind of enfolded her and kept her on the side of the cliff. And what was really interesting to me was the details that God goes through with these things. The rest of that psalm is, He will raise you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. And she said that was what stopped her fall, was a stone.
Wow.
That she stood on that. And it sounds so much like what you're describing.
And I think that was a story that I read after the fact. And I think that's right, because I read
some
of your books that did that. But that was what was hard to describe. It felt like I could feel a definite, some soft thing over me when, you know, when that did that. So anyway, thank you very much for
I miss you guys.
Oh, I miss you. Now, here's one question to leave you and Mr. Costa with, is how come do you think, you know, are we given the grace, like, was the mother given the grace to pray for her daughter at that instance? And then, you know, of course, it's an area of mystery, but is it because we asked our angels to do that, you know, she was saved? What about the mother that doesn't pray for the angels to go to them? I don't know.
That's such a good question, and I have no idea. I don't know how that works, except that we're told we don't receive because we don't ask.
Right.
And I think that very often we put God in a box and we think, well, he's not going to care about this, or, you know, I don't want to bother God with anything really small. And yet it's in those tiny details that we meet the person of God and we get to know him as our dearest friend. So I always say, ask for anything, and don't ever hesitate to ask.
Well said. We are. It is not uncommon to receive a command from God and not know exactly how this command will function. So God, as you say, to pray in all things. We have not because we ask not. Knock and receive.
Mm-hmm.
Knock and the door will be open. But exactly the mechanics of all that, exactly how the divine switchboard works, I don't know. But in the providence of God, there clearly is something at work, because people will even pray after events have occurred, not knowing that those events have occurred. And
absolutely,
those prayers seem to sometimes be efficacious.
You know what? When you mention that, I think immediately of children, because very often a child has such a clear conscience. There's no sin there or anything, that there are times when they know things that we don't. And I'm always kind of hesitant about, you know, putting more on children than they actually have. But
sure.
I've seen so many things happen with little ones. In fact, just this weekend, somebody was telling me about her mother had been in hospice. I said, "How's your mother?" She said, "Oh, she died a couple of months ago." And then I said, "Well, I'd known that she was very sick." And so this woman told me that her mother had come to be with them in her final days, and they had hospice set up there in a first floor room. And so mom was in the kitchen while her own mother was napping, and down in the basement is their little 5 or 6 year old, her son, playing with his car. So she's out there making something for dinner, and all of a sudden she hears her little boy talking, and he doesn't usually do that. So she sort of goes over to the basement door, which is open, and she leans over to listen, and just then he gets up and runs to the foot of the stairs and says, "Mom, the angels are here."
Hmm.
Just like that. And she said it was like the mailman is here. It was so matter of fact. And she said, "What?" And her little guy said, "They've come for Grandma, Mom." And she said, "I went into my mother's room," and she had just died. She was still warm and everything.
Yes.
And she said, "I asked my child about it, and he really didn't have much to say. It was just a different, you know, it was time for dinner."
Yeah. That's wild.
But, you know, how do they know that? Of course, they probably see them, but so often they will say, I know this man. Like one little boy told his mother that she shouldn't smoke because her daddy smoked, and that wasn't good for him. And she said, "Oh, honey, Papa never smoked." It was the grandfather he was talking about. She said, "Oh, honey, Papa never smoked." And he said, "I don't mean that Papa. I mean your Papa." Well, her father had been in heaven long before this little boy was even born. And he was a heavy smoker, so how would she know?
Terry, thanks for the call.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for sharing the story.
Yes,
our number is 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. There's so many stories that you tell, Joan. Let me just see if I've got one here. You've got a young man drowning in an icy river.
Oh.
Finds himself on the shore. How's that happen?
Well, my gosh. Now, this family I know, and the mother has had, she said, it's almost as if I've had about 10 children just trying to keep up with this one. You know, really the type that needs all the angelic help he can get. And she said he just, gets into things. He's not a bad person, but he's just, if he sees a hard way to do something, that's what he'll do. And we probably all know children like that. And she said,
were children like that.
Or were, yes. I was kind of a prissy. I didn't get into much trouble, but I was the oldest. And, you know, your parents always say you have to set an example for the others. So mm-hmm. they had all the fun, and, you know, I just kind of watched them and all. But this mother was, you know, she would half laugh and half cry over the things he got into. And so part of that story is just all the other things. He was always in the hospital emergency room and all of that. Just it just kind of it's a light touch as far as opening the door to someone who's just as normal and average as anybody else. Sometimes people think that the only people that have angel experiences must be saints. Mm-hmm. And I find it important to get to know these people quickly so that we can see that they're just like us.
Yes.
So she told me one night he had gotten some kind of a motorcycle, and I'm not real sure what, but he was driving home, of course, very fast, and they had a lake in town, and the lake was completely iced over, and he thought it would be fun to see if he could leap over the lake, you know, like who is the guy in the motorcycle that's that always
Evil, you know, Knievel.
Yes, he decided, you know, what a great thing to think of. And so he revs up and he's going fast and he gets ready and he goes a little faster and zoom, he's over the top of the lake, and of course he doesn't make it to the other side, and he falls into the lake. It's about 1:30 in the morning now.
Icy.
Yes, horribly icy. And he's not at the shoreline. He's kind of in the middle. And, of course, the motorcycle glugs it way down to the bottom. But he is heavy. He's wearing heavy clothes, and he's being pulled down, too. Mm. And he said he swam and swam and swam, and he just couldn't get anywhere. And his clothes were heavier and heavier, and he finally just kind of realized that he was probably going to die there, and he felt really bad for his mom because she'd feel, you know, responsible, and all these things passed through his mind. And the next thing he remembers, kind of vaguely, is that he's lying on the snow on the shore. And he's astonished, but he's also kind of foggy about the whole thing. And the next thing he remembers is that he's up on the top. You know, the lake was kind of lower. And he's up on the top, and he's not that far from the street. And he kind of staggers over, and a trucker is coming along, and bless their hearts, the trucker picks him up and drives him home.
Mm.
Well, of course, his mother again had to take him to the emergency room because what if he caught pneumonia and all of that? And she said, of course, she had to call the insurance company just to have them write off the motorcycle. But the next day, she went over there, and it was so cold that nothing had happened since that night. And she said, I looked down at the snow, and I could see his footprints, and I could see a second set walking alongside him.
Whoa. Oh, that's got to be a powerful story. Thank you, Joan. We'll talk again soon. Joan Wester Anderson, Guardian Angels.
Have you ever thought, how does the abortion clinic in your city find the money to stay open? The answer is you. In fact, most mutual funds, 401ks, and other investments held by investors like you actually support businesses like the abortion industry, pornography, and same-sex lifestyle. Which means right now, there's a very good chance you are helping to keep the doors of abortion clinics in Metro Detroit open. Call Jim and Stacy at Faith Investment Services at 1-800-529-9434. Jim and Stacy can show you exactly what your investments are currently supporting and then offer morally directed options that don't require you to sacrifice performance. Find out where your money is going. Call Jim and Stacy at Faith Investment Services today at 1-800-529-9434. That's 1-800-529-9434 or go to morallydirected.com.
Securities offered through Next Financial Group, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Faith Investment Services is not an affiliate of Next Financial Group, Inc. If you had a choice, would you want to live till you're 80 or 40? Well, what about your car?
10 years or just 5 years? We can't control when we die, but you're likely to double the life of your vehicle when you get regular maintenance at Fousey's Auto Repair.
Maintenance, it's a must. Power steering, brake, transmission. That's the last thing on their mind is changing these fluid. It's forgotten.
For example, failing to flush your engine coolant can clog the heater core. This not only can result in having no heat in the winter, but eventually produces mechanical failure.
You know, most failure is basically neglect.
Why spend thousands of dollars on mechanical failures when a small fraction can greatly extend the life of your vehicle? Go to Fousey's Auto Repair today to see what you could potentially save in just 5 years. Call Fousey today at 734-665-8700. Mention you're a WDEO listener for a discount. That's 734-665-8700. Fousey's Auto Repair. It's your car, their reputation.
A very good afternoon to you. I'm Al Cresta. Let me remind you that all the information that we lay out here on Cresta in the afternoon usually has articles behind it, websites, guests. So go to AveMariaRadio.net. Go to the Cresta Guest Archives. That's AveMariaRadio.net. And follow up on any of our guests. Learn the books, and their books are available in the online bookstore. It makes it easy. Also, there's a poll question every day. Yesterday's question, what should Congress do now that the bailout bill has been defeated in the House? 40% of you said draft new bill. 60% of you said, let the market create the solution. So that's we'll have a new poll question for you today at the end of the program. But again, it's easy, AveMariaRadio.net. Now, coming up in the next hour of Crest in the Afternoon is support for California Proposition 8 slipping, a ballot initiative seeking to define marriage as a union between one man and one woman in California, has been losing support among voters. We'll find out why. Bill May, Catholic for the Common Ground, with me. Also, will Catholics once again sit on the throne of Great Britain? Joanna Bogle reports on some proposed changes in England. And we'll review two films, Fireproof, starring Kirk Cameron, and Miracle at St. Anna, directed by Spike Lee. I'm Al Cresta. Looking forward to another hour with you.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
You've heard Ken Town of Fellowship Home Lending talk about adjustable rate mortgages on the radio. Now get information 24/7 on the web, including calculators and a free insider mortgage report at fellowshiphomelending.com. Your schedule is crazy, and it's hard to call Ken during the day sometimes, but you can hear his mortgage wisdom and get valuable tools any time of the day or night at fellowshiphomelending.com. Get your answers right now at fellowshiphomelending.com.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild invites you to activate your faith. Wondering about stem cell research and Proposal 2? Get informed with Father Tad Poholchek, Dr. Rusty Shavey, and Father Gordon Regal Saturday, October 4th at St. Andrew's in Saline. There will be a panel discussion after a video presentation all registered voters need to attend. Call 734-944-7790 for more details. There are quite a few life chains scheduled for Sunday, October 5th. Join Pinckney Pro-Life at the Town Square in Pinckney and in Dearborn at Telegraph at Annapolis and Colgate at Cherry Hill. To find a life chain near you, visit www.lifechain.net or call 313-274-1223. You can find many more events at our website, AveMariaRadio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077. Catholic Radio, it's yours to keep and to grow.
From real estate to plumbing, from pet care to dentistry, Catholic business professionals are finding increased business when advertising.